Hey everyone, it's Antiquated Ideas. This video might be a little bit weird because I went on a fucking half-hour rant and then the file decided to corrupt. So this is take number two, and hopefully I hit all the points that I wanted to hit. So you guys know, in case you want to start doing anything on your own, I do write myself just a few talking points, not really a full script, but just some points so that I keep my mind on track. I think most people do that. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about today was capitalism, in a sense, and what I want to call family planning, and how that ties into being an eco-nationalist. So to start this off, again, got to give you guys a little bit of a history lesson here. So capitalism has, in my opinion, definitely got some major flaws. And we can really see how these flaws were exemplified in Europe as well, but mostly in America, at least for me as an American. Exemplified in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And to me, these fatal flaws, so to speak, are really how capitalism pushes a huge focus on earning money and not caring about the welfare of the worker, and especially the worker's family. You could see how you had these major corporations and these mills and factories, and they would just run through people. I mean, it did not matter if somebody got injured on the work, on the job, then it really did not matter to the employers because they had plenty of other people, a huge manpower pool to pull from when they were looking for new workers. And obviously that set the precedent for a lot of the labor laws that we have today. And the reason that I bring up this sort of mindset that capitalism induces is because it really forces me and the eco-nationalist doctrine as well to take an objective look at capitalism and find its pros and cons. So what we're seeing today is an issue, especially among prospective families, where people are afraid to get married, let alone have children, because they're worried about the economic repercussions of doing such. I mean, you know, if you're going to foster a family, then you definitely want to be financially secure when you're going to do that. As we all know, or should know, having children is not a very cheap undergoing. So when you look at the American system, it really sticks out how the American system is just brutally unforgiving towards families unless you get a good company. But it really shouldn't be based on the company. The entire system should be centered around families and around living life. I mean, you look at Europe, and I'm going to bring up Europe a couple times here, and forgive me if I get something wrong. Obviously, I'm not actively living in Europe, so I don't understand the system as much as I might talk about it, though I do think that I have a good understanding. But more so, I mean that they're called a social democracy in Europe, the quote-unquote social democracies, and there are a couple key differences, and one of those differences, and something that eco-nationalists really support, is a lower hour standard work week. In America, that work week is 40 hours, and we propose that it should be 30, you know, 32 hours, something like that. And in Europe, a lot of times, it still is. I mean, there's more diversity now than there used to be. Things definitely used to close earlier, but that sentiment is still there, where there's a lower work week for a similar wage, and giving the individuals a higher focus on both family time and actively living life. So that's not really something that you see in American culture, you know, and in American capitalism specifically, it's work, 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 and then die. You know, there's not really, oh, sorry, I should rephrase that. It's work, 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 pay taxes, and then die. Now, I mean, paying taxes is pretty universal, but that's my opinion of the American system, and there are a lot of people, clearly there are a lot of people in America who think the same way, because socialism is and has been on the rise in America. And so, I mean, this is something that I will get into in a few moments, but I think really the only way to effectively curb socialism is to embrace some social policies, which is not wrong, it's not bad, and it's definitely not conceding to them. But anyway, let me finish my thought here, is that you look at Europe and you can see that European countries will offer maternal leave, even if it's, you know, the bare minimum of 3 months or what have you, which is crucial, by the way. And on top of maternal leave, you also get paternal leave. What's that? Paternal leave? Yeah, you don't get that in America. No fucking way. They're not going to give you that. And you can really see this attitude, and like I said, its pervasiveness in American culture. Because while employers are legally bound to not discriminate against, number one, women or anyone, but how they're legally bound not to discriminate, but they still will. And it may not be something that you can prove, but let's take, for example, if you're a woman and you're going to get, you're looking at a job and it's potentially a long-term job, then they're going to ask you, you know, do you plan on having a family? And depending how you answer that question may just determine whether or not you get the job. And that is an unfortunate reality that a lot of people don't want to talk about. Is that, yes, employers will happily discriminate against you for wanting a family, because as an employer, you're forced to give that bare minimum of maternal leave. I think it's pretty unheard of for American companies to offer paternal leave, especially paid leave. But I think this is where socialized healthcare really starts to shine through. Because if you're thinking about having a family, now, number one, you want to be there, especially those crucial moments at the very beginning, you know, right when you have a child. As a mother, you want to make sure that you're not going to be left alone. You don't want your husband to disappear off to work the next day because you might need something. You know, you don't want to have to take care of the child and the house and everything all alone for a day, a week, a month. I mean, it's important to not just you, but also to the child that the father is there. And then, as a father and a husband, you don't want to leave your wife or your child alone. I mean, especially not when your wife is weak after just having a child. You want to be there to provide for them. I mean, that's what any good man would do, is they would be there to solve the issues as they arise, be there to take care and provide. And so this idea of free healthcare and socialized systems where you have lower hours per week as the standard you know, it really, it does provide people the time to have a family and to live their life. You actually get to go home and have time to, you know, prepare meals, to help your kids with their homework after school, to spend time with your family. I mean, to go for a walk, to do whatever it is that you want to do. Having that crucial time is very important. And in America, you know, they have the saying, time is money, which again is another clue in to how the capitalist American mindset is. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist by any means. But I can see and I can agree on some of their points, specifically how Karl Marx talked about the the focus should be on the worker and on the work that is being done, not just the product. Because it's very easy to see that Americans and capitalism in general is your profit per minute. I mean, it's about making the absolute most that you can off of your employees. Now, not everyone is going to do that. That's a generalization, but that is how a lot of major corporations have historically functioned. So it's a proper thought to think that it is something that they're very capable of doing again. And I think they are, to a degree, still doing it. So that's why, you know, as an eco-nationalist, we definitely want to see a lower hour work week. We want people to be able to live their lives. I mean, it would be hypocritical of us as eco-nationalists to talk about this idealist mindset and this lifestyle where you get outside, you spend time with your family, you know, you actually live your life and have a fulfilling life, not just a hedonistic, you know, do whatever you want type of life. Because there's definitely a distinction between the two. But that's where we get into having some of these tax justifiable systems where you have things like free healthcare, free education, free transportation. Now, there was a quote, and I'm not going to get the quote right because I don't remember it verbatim, but it's about the idea. And forgive me if I butcher his name. I can't remember his first name, but Codrinu, or however you say it, the Romanian nationalist in the 1920s and 30s. He mentioned specifically how the best form of governance is to take both the pros of capitalism and socialism. And as eco-nationalists who believe in absolute pragmatism, this is clearly a pragmatic mindset. So it's something that really part of our eco-nationalist doctrine is based off of, where we are able to look at both sides of the system and determine what's good and what's bad, and learn and take the good that we can see and try and fit all these good things, the pros of both systems, into our own ideology. And yes, it is a little bit idealistic, but it's entirely possible. I believe that it's something that the founding fathers would have looked highly upon, especially the ability to take the pros of something that's seemingly competition, like socialism, and be able to properly implement them into the country. Now, I mentioned when I did this the first time, I don't know how I got on, it's sort of a tangent, I don't know how I got onto it, but I wanted to bring it up again, and that is our obsession with progression. And you can use that as a key phrase if you want, because that really, it's a good way to think about America, especially in today's day and age. You think about how we have all these liberals and they want to be so socially progressive and morally correct all the time. And look, frankly, I don't give a shit if you want to be a butthole surfer, but don't tell me about it. Number one, I mean, just be a normal person. And number two is I don't understand why the focus of progression is on, you know, LGBTQI2 plus fucking let the minorities in and let all the illegals come vote for free. And yeah, I don't want any of that. That's not the way that a country should function. And so, again, we are not, as eco-nationalists, we are not very pro big government, but we understand the place of a government. And part of a government is, you see it on fucking police cars all the time, and they don't do it pretty much ever. I mean, again, that's another topic to get into, just about everything is, but you see it on police cars all the time, protect and serve. And that is exactly what the government should be doing. If you're paying taxes to the government, you should be getting some sort of benefit from the government. You can't use security as justifying your tax payments, because we have all the security we need. I mean, if there truly is an issue, then as a country, we've seen it before. Hundreds of thousands of people will be willing to volunteer to, I mean, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of people are willing to volunteer in defense of this country. Maybe not go overseas to defend the country, but I think just about every good American is willing to defend America. But again, what is it that we've progressed if our system doesn't support having a family? How can we say that we are a truly progressive society when all we care about is minorities, gays, I mean, open borders, all this bullshit that has fucking nothing to do with truly running a country? And that's why it's personal to me, because I want to have a family. I think a lot of people do want to have a family, but again, they're scared off by not being able to afford it. And that's where having socialized healthcare is a really good idea. And like I said before, one of the only ways to effectively curb socialism is to adopt some socialist ideas. And this is one of them. You listen to common people, especially the people who don't really have a good understanding of what socialism is. And one of the main things that they'll say, especially like the Bernie Sanders supporters or whatever, they're going to say that socialized healthcare and socialized education are like the number one and two things that they want to see happen. And I completely understand that. See, my aunt and uncle, they went to Canada for a time, and he served in the Canadian military, but they had two children in Canada. And she's told me before, my aunt, that she really appreciated the healthcare system there, because they didn't have to worry about getting exorbitant bills in regards to just having a child. I mean, that's why people in the U.S. will turn down healthcare, especially, you know, like first aid, is because you don't want to have some freak accident where, you know, you say you are in a car accident, somebody T-bones you and your legs get crushed under the dashboard. You don't want to get pulled out of the car by the firemen, the EMTs, and then get shipped off to the hospital, have them fix you, you'd be able to live, just to get, you know, a $30,000 bill that you can't afford to pay. Because then, at what point, I mean, What is that, really? They're putting a price on your life. And yes, obviously, if you're going to put a price on somebody's life, it's going to be high. But is life not invaluable? Is it? I mean, why are we trying to put a monetary value on life? I think that's a very American way and a very capitalist way to approach living. I mean, if we pay taxes, again, I think we should be getting something from it. So I don't want to hear all these arguments, you know, over what system is better, because in reality, the ability to understand both is important. I think possibly the most important skill for any single person to have is to be able to not just empathize or sympathize, but it's to be able to play devil's advocate, to understand both sides of an argument, to be able to look at this issue or any issue objectively and understand why somebody thinks the way that they do. And if you don't understand, be able to ask or be able to read and learn. And yes, you're going to have your own opinion regardless, but you should be able to understand all sides of an argument. I think that that's common logic, is to be able to look and say, you know, all right, maybe I don't like sticking my finger up other guys' buttholes, but is it really my problem if they do it or not? I mean, I'm not gay, but why shouldn't they be allowed to do it if they're not hurting anyone? And I know that's a controversial topic, but I think that it's a good example, because if we are to start governing things like that, then really what we're doing is becoming the people that we swear that we won't become. That is stripping away people's freedoms. And of course, there should be restrictions as to what people can do. I don't believe in absolute anarchy, but it's wrong to say that you're going to defend somebody's rights and then take them away. Yet, that's, again, almost exactly what's happening with wanting to start a family, is this whole system that we have, it's just really aimed at destroying families. I mean, the fact that people think that they have to choose between a fucking career and a relationship is insane. That is something that I cannot fathom. I understand that, yes, people think, you know, their income needs to be secure, but the part that I get caught up on is why? Why is our system that way? Why is it that people who want to progress things, who want to create a better world, a better place for everyone, that they're focusing all of their efforts on getting some fringe group of sexuality their rights, their supposed rights, when we don't even have a system that's focused around some of the most basic aspects of life? We have a system that, if anything, it aims to take away from basic life. I mean, what happened to just having a family? What happened to just enjoying your life? I mean, taking the time to do the things that you need or want to do. I think that, like I said earlier, there's a distinction between living a fulfilling life and being a hedonist, because hedonism is definitely a sin. Whether you are a Christian or not, I think that you should be able to recognize that hedonism is a flaw in somebody's personality. But wanting to live life is not. And I think that having a family, having a relationship, and the ability to take care of that is inherent. But anyway, as we come up to 25 minutes here, you guys know how to reach out to me. It's Antiquated Ideas on Instagram or YouTube, or I also have FL underscore Innawoods. So if you have any topics that you guys want me to talk about, if you have any discussion at all, I mean, really, just feel free to reach out to me. I enjoy the conversations. I enjoy learning new perspectives because everyone has their own experiences and their own perspectives, and that helps shape me. And like I said, eco-nationalism is very pragmatic, so it's about looking at these other perspectives and taking from them, trying to learn and improve as you go. And like I said, that's something that I believe the Founding Fathers definitely would have been proud of. So again, if you enjoyed it, if there's something you want to talk about, I mean, anything, feel free to follow me, message me, whatever. Thanks for listening.